head.
In other words, here this group of angels were saying, or heavenly beings, we could say, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.
Yes. And then Sarah laughed, and he says, your wife Sarah laughed. And he said, no. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? So in the 13th verse, we know that the Lord specifically was talking to Abraham. But before here, we do not see a delineation here between the Lord and the angels. That I believe that's very important, Darren, because God wants us to work with the angels in that same way. I truly believe that in this day and age.
Now, I like this when it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? I think she might have said that facetiously. Here,
yes.
I'm an old woman.
Yes.
I'm an old woman. But then the angel said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And that's a great thing
Lord
that's quoted
that.
All the way through Scripture.
Yes.
Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. He corrected her.
Yes, and that was the Lord himself.
Right.
It says, you did laugh. And then the men rose up and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. I think this is so exciting.
Now, today we'd say, well, he was seeing them off. He was saying goodbye to them. There was going to be a departure here. And I just tell you, oh, it's exciting. And then there was some more interchange here, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Mm-hmm. Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
Oh.
I tell you, for I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him.
That's right. And then as he finishes this conversation, the two angels turn away and they walk towards Sodom. They've got another assignment, and that is to go get rescue Lot and his family. Well, here Abraham is talking directly with the Lord, and he's pleading with the Lord, won't you just save the town if there are 50 righteous, and or if there are 45, and it goes down to 40 and 30 and 20 and then 10. And God or Jesus here, I'm sorry, Jesus says, I will not destroy it on the count of the 10. There weren't even 10 righteous in Sodom, Darren. And so then the angels went to Sodom to rescue Lot. And here we find that the two angels.
See, I find this, excuse me for interrupting you, Barb, mm-hmm. but I find this here, this will of heaven, the will of holiness and righteousness, if you will, now is going to be, in a sense, superimposed on the earth here in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham here had such strong dominion. And we have to remember that back in Genesis 1:26 through 28, God said, let us go down, make man in our own image. And then he ended up giving man the dominion over fish, over birds, over the whole creation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, I believe Abraham understood that.
Yes.
Now, in Psalm 115 verse 16, it says the earth belongs to man. We have to realize that we have been put here with a tremendous, awesome assignment.
That's
we
right.
are to be in charge of the dominion in our space. Let's say it that way. Well, here God was saying, I have so much respect for my man Abraham that I better tell him what I'm about to do.
Yes.
Now that's an awesome respect, and I believe God has that same respect for us today. And, you know, many times we want God to do things, but we've never given him words to work with. And we have to do that.
That's right. And some of you are saying, well, this is the Old Testament, and God treated people differently in the Old Testament. He appeared to them much more. And I can take you, or we can take you, to Romans 4, where it talks about Abraham in the New Testament, and it talks about his believing in God was reckoned unto him as righteousness, and his faith was the faith that God tells us we can have,
right,
Darren. So there is no difference between Old Testament faith and New Testament faith. I really don't believe that, and I believe we could see more angels if we truly asked God and saw with our spiritual eyes.
Yeah, but let me tell you why I believe that we don't see more in the spirit world. In our Western culture, now I'm speaking here primarily about the United States, in our Western culture, we have primarily denied the spirit world except as when it came to something evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I blame Hollywood and the comic strips and whatever for that. But the churches have kind of given into that. We need to realize that spirit world was created for us, and our dominion should include the natural world as well as the spirit world. And if you jump forward to Luke 10:19, Jesus is saying to his disciples, I've given you all authority over serpents and scorpions, which were demons.
All the powers of the
earth. He's talking about in the spirit world as well as on the earth. So here we're lords of the earth. Let me say it that way.
That's right. I believe that's in Mark 16, though, where we have authority over scorpions and snakes, not Luke 10:19. Is it Luke 10:19?
Luke 10:19.
Oh, I stand corrected then.
See, Barbara's trying to read my Bible here. And it's Luke 10:19.
Okay, I'm going to find it and I'm going to read it so that you who are listening. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. That is all of Luke 10:19.
That's if you take the authority that God has given you.
Yes.
Now, part of that authority and that understanding is the basis for why we're trying to teach you here about angels, mm-hmm. is that you need to get up and realize that you're really pretty special in God's eyes. He made you, first of all, in His image and likeness. He wants you to operate like He does. And He was operating all the way through Scripture with His mouth.
That's right.
With words. And the angels also operated with authority in their words. And we'll be showing that here in a little bit.
And, you know, it says in Luke 10:19 that nothing shall injure you. And I think that's so important, Darren, to bring up the fact that in Psalm 91:11, it says, He gives His angels charge over us. Now, it's angels that keep us from getting injured. I truly believe that. And I believe as we're driving down the highways and as we're in planes and as we're traveling, America travels so much now. The world is very small compared to 100 years ago. I believe those angels are out guarding us in all our ways. And then it goes on to say in Psalm 91:11, they will bear you up in their hands lest you strike your foot against a stone. They really do keep us from being injured. I truly do believe that.
Now, you remember the night we were coming home real late from church. We were coming mm-hmm. up the interstate highway.
Yes.
And I was in the center lane, and that part of the interstate had three lanes. So we got the inside lane next to the center barrier, and then there was an empty lane, then we were there, and then so on. But there was a car just a little bit ahead of us over next to the barrier, and I noticed in the rear vision mirror that a car was coming at an extreme high rate of speed. And I knew that there was not room for him to pass us and cut in front of us without either hitting us or hitting the car next to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time, that car went by us so fast, and you screamed, and I held on. And I know that car had to be physically inside of our car. In mm-hmm. fact, I had the sense that it was clear over against the steering wheel, mm-hmm. into the middle of the steering wheel. We concluded at that moment that God did something supernatural, and I believe angels were involved.
I believe that too,
Or
yes.
we would have been smeared all over the interstate.
Yes, we would have. I believe something absolutely supernatural took place
right.
that moment in our lives. And Darren, if we don't acknowledge those times in our lives that God saved us or rescued us, how are we going to see the great and mighty outpouring miracles that we're praying for?
Now, when something like that happens, you'll hear me say out loud in the car, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, angels, for protecting us.
Yes.
But that's scripture.
That's right. It is. Now, these angels that accompanied the Lord when they announced to Sarah and Abraham the birth of Isaac, they went on to Sodom. The two angels did. And you'll read this in Genesis 19. And we have a teaching on angels warning and destroying. But I would like to go into this, Darren. These two angels that came to announce were the same angels that came to warn. And they came to the city of Sodom, and they wanted to sleep out in the square of the city. But Lot, who had lived there for quite a few years already, knew that that city was very sinful and wicked. And he encouraged the two angels strongly to stay with them. And they entered the house, and angels eat. Angels eat food because Lot prepared a feast for them, and they ate. So we know that angels are like men, because Abraham recognized them as three men standing by the oak of Mamre. So we know that they are in the form of men. and human beings, and also that they eat food. Here we have discovered they walk, they talk, just like human beings do.
See, now I would say it a little differently. I would say they can take on the form of a man.
All right.
And they can eat with us. In other
yes.
words, it's a very natural thing.
That's right.
Now, if you're going to get keyed into this angel package,